If you would open your Bibles with me to Psalm 96. Psalm 96. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Tell of the salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for the gods of the people are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the people. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory that is due his name. Bring an offering. Come into his courts. Worship the Lord in splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. This morning, I'm going to be talking about the importance of singing in the life of the believer. A psalm is technically a term. It's a song of praise. Words are often used as synonyms and parallels to figure out what praise actually means. So bless, exalt, extol, glorify, magnify, thank, confess. We speak well of, to make much of. That's what we're to do when we praise the Lord our God. When you tell a friend about a movie, you're praising it. So how do we give our praise? Well, we praise Psalm 151. We praise the Lord. We praise God in his sanctuary. We praise him in the heavens. We praise him for his acts of power. We praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet, with the harp, and with the lyre. Praise him with the timbrel, the dancing. Praise him with the strings and the pipe. We praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. What I love about this passage is you've got skilled players and you've got unskilled players. I mean, it takes a while to learn the harp. It doesn't take a while to bang a cymbal together. And so the skilled and the unskilled, everything that has breath, praise the Lord. One of the things I love about singing is that songs give range to our full range of emotions. They give voice. James 5, is any of you afflicted? Let him pray. If anyone is merry, let him sing songs. Songs of praise express our highest highs, and the Bible includes songs of lament as well when we're at our greatest lows. We're not called to be stoics. We're not to ignore the sorrow that is in our lives. Jesus wept, and so can we. But we don't weep as those who have no hope. We have hope in the name of the Lord. I've personally found it when tragedy or hard news comes, you end up being numb. It's just difficult to get by day to day. This is the time when you need the encouragement of the scriptures the most, but it's also the time that you're most distracted. You're physically drained and least motivated to read. I found personally that having a go-to playlist that you can put on repeat is a great way to get the scriptures inside your brain, to learn and to soak in the truths that those songs sing. It's a great way to get the scripture inside your life. While we can and we should pour out our thoughts and feelings to the Lord, we shouldn't let our emotions drive our worship. In a society that's been told to follow our hearts, those that encourage this piece of advice really don't have a biblical understanding of the human heart. Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitful above everything else and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Through the reading of the word and the singing of our songs, we fill our minds with the things of the Lord. We lead our heart into truth. We don't follow it. The Old and the New Testament make it clear that we're to sing praises to the Lord. Actually, the first song of the Bible is recorded in the book of Exodus. After the people of Israel had crossed the Red Sea, Moses and his sister, I will sing to the Lord a new song, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider, he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He's become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. This is my Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Psalms are full of exhortation to sing and give praise to the Lord. Psalm 100, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Yeah, make a joyful noise. That gives hope for some of us, right? Hey, you've heard some of your neighbors sing, and some of it's just heavenly. And some of it, you get to practice forbearance. It's not the quality of our singing. It's the attitudes of our heart that we bring to the Lord. There's biblical practice for singing all the way through. Even Jesus sang. I never thought about this, but Jesus must have sung growing up. But it's actually recorded here. Actually, right after communion, he took the bread, and after drink all of this, for my blood is the covenant which is poured out. I will tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, he went out to the Mount of Olives. Paul and Silas, when they were in prison, in Acts, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately the doors were open and everybody's bonds were unfastened. I think that's the first rock concert recorded in Scripture. Heavenly beings filled the heavens with praise. Revelations, every created thing that is in heaven on earth and under the earth in the sea and all things, I heard them say, to him who sits on the throne, to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. As we've seen, one of the primary purposes of singing is to praise the Lord. But another is to teach and to admonish one another. Colossians 3, let the word of the Lord dwell richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. Another is to be enriched by the word and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians, do not be drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in the Lord with your heart. It appears that one of the marks of the Spirit-filled believer is singing. Jesus, on Palm Sunday, this was interesting. He's coming down, he's riding on his donkey. The people are laying down their cloaks in front of him, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said, teacher, rebuke your disciples. He answered, if I tell you, if they were silent, if we are silent in our praise, even the stones would cry out. Psalm 150, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Singing is also a great way to teach our children. Deuteronomy 6 doesn't mention singing specifically, but you tell me. And all these words I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk in the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. I don't know about your family. Music is part of ours. All the time. Here, I'm going to start this. You finish it. Jesus loves me, this I know.
For the Bible tells me so.
See, you're teaching your children at the young age the sufficiency of Scripture, a love for His Word. But don't stop at the first verse. Jesus loves me, He who died. Heaven's gates are open wide. He will wash away my sin. Let this little child come in. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in his sight. Where would racism be if people actually believe that? Skin color doesn't make one superior. We are all made in the image of God. And you teach your children at the smallest ages. Songs are like seeds planted while your child is young. Let them grow with them. While it's good to sing alone, singing is intended to be collective. It's a spiritual activity that reaches inward and upward and outward. Now, I do have a couple of warnings when it comes to our worship. A lot of times when we think of worship, it's the band, right? We really like the worship at that church. We just means they have a good guitar player and a good singer and a good drummer. But beware of just limiting worship to that, whether you eat or drink Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. While worship does include singing, it's much broader in scope. We worship the Lord when we go to work, when we go to school, when we take care of our children. Every aspect of our lives are worship to the Lord. Some people have a problem with 7-Eleven songs. You know, they sing the same seven words 11 times in a row. I don't really have a problem with those songs. I think repetition is good. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Repetition drives things home. Where I do take issue, though, is Jesus is my boyfriend songs. Jesus is my boyfriend songs are songs where the lyrics that describe or engage with God in an almost romantic way. Some of these songs only require one or two tweaks to the words, and they just turn into a regular pop song about a significant other. The way he holds me, your heart is my heart is yours. Here's one of those lyrics. You are my desire, no one else will do, because nothing else could take your place and feel the warmth of your embrace. Now, this is the God of the universe we're talking about, the one who upholds the universe by the power of his word, according to Hebrews. You can be sincere in your worship, but you could also be sincerely wrong. John 4 says, God is a spirit, and they say those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, which also means it's possible to worship him in the flesh and to offer false worship. As a congregation, we've been learning about the prosperity gospel. Just because you see something in the Christian bookstore doesn't make it wise to read. Just because you hear something in the on the Christian radio doesn't make it wise to sing. I'm worried less about style, whether it's fast or slow or uses drums or not. I'm worried more about the content. As Christians, we're called to be Bereans about the songs that you hear, about the sermons that you hear, to search the scriptures. How much more, though, should we be that diligent with who we partner with in worship and the songs that we sing? Now, on a totally different note, do you know that it takes 40 gallons of maple sap to produce 1 gallon of maple syrup? All of this maple sap, 1 little gallon of maple syrup. Now, I don't know the exact ratio, but from the research I've done, it takes about 40 passages of scripture to make 1 good, solid Christian song. And I thought it would be fun to take a look at some of the songs that we've sung today or that we're going to be singing in response at the end of the sermon, and break them down and look at the passages where they reference. Now, this list is by no means exhaustive. You may have different passages that come to mind, but I think it's fascinating to take a look and break these songs down like this. First one we're going to take a look at is Amazing Grace. It's an autobiographical hymn by John Newton. He was formerly a slave trader, and the Lord remarkably saved him, transformed his life, and he wrote this in one of his responses of gratefulness and thankfulness to the Lord. So, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Ephesians 2, for by his grace that you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast, that saved a wretch like me. Romans captures this beautifully. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I once was lost, but now I'm found. Luke 19, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Matthew 18, suppose if you have 100 sheep and loses one of them, doesn't he go out and search the country after the lost sheep until he finds it? I tell you, the same way where there will be more rejoicing in heaven when one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous who do not need to repent. Was blind, but now I see. Corinthians, for he, the God of this world, has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. No, 'twas. 'Twas. That's old King James, right? I had a grandmother. She would talk in English, but she would pray in the King James. And it was one of the most beautiful things. I remember it to this day. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. Proverbs 9, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And it's when we have the fear of the Lord, that's when we come to the Lord, when he gives us that wisdom. How precious did that grace appear. Let us therefore become boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need, as Hebrews says. The hour I first believed, Acts, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. Now that may belief may have been one overwhelming moment where you can remember the date and the time and you remember where you're sitting. That belief may have come over a period of time where it built up gradually and all of a sudden you found that you were putting your full faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. But at some point, you're going to have to make a decision to believe. The Lord has promised every good to me. James 1, every good gift and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due of change. For he will my shield and portion be. 2 Samuel, the God of my rock, I will trust him. He is my shield and the horn of my salvations. Lamentations, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. As long as life endures, for what is this? Life, it is even a vapor. It appears for a little time and it vanishes away. That's amazing grace. Now, there's actually seven stanzas. We're only going to go through the three that we sang this morning. Next song we're going to take a look at is How Firm a Foundation. This is a personal favorite of mine. They weren't sure exactly. This was written in the 1700s. They weren't sure who wrote it. They think they figured it out. But many of the song's phrases are direct scripture quotations. And certainly the entire song is a scripture-soaked testimony to God's word. The song is so rich, it's worthy of meditation, and it certainly deserves the place of recognition that it has in our Christian singing. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, Matthew 7. Every one of them who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. Laid for your faith in his excellent word, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus, 1 Corinthians. What more can he say than to you who he has said, Romans 8, what shall we say against these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? What else could he say? How about, it is finished. Amen. To you who for refuge to Jesus have fled, Psalms, God is our refuge, our strength, a very present help in time of need. Fear not, I am with me. This whole section here comes straight out of Isaiah. And I'm not going to read the lyrics. I'm going to read the scripture here. Fear not, for I'm with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you by my righteous right hand. Verse 3, through deep waters I will call you to go. The rivers of sorrow will not overflow. Again, taken from Isaiah 43, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. But I will be with thee, thy troubles to bless. James, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for what he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised those who love him. Sanctify thee to thy deepest distress. Romans 8, for we know that those who love God are all, from all things who work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. When through fiery trials your pathway shall lie, 1 Peter, dear friends, do not be surprised when fiery ordeals have come upon you to test you, as though this is something strange. My grace shall be sufficient, shall be your supply. 2 Corinthians, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. The flame shall not hurt me. He jumps right back to the second part of Isaiah 43. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. Through the flames, they will not consume you. Thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. He's talking about when you take gold and you're trying to purify it, you boil it down and you take off the gunk. Job, for he knows the way I take. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as pure gold. The soul that has leaned on Jesus for repose, another way for saying rest. Matthew 7, come to me, all who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and lean on me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I will not desert for its foes. Deuteronomy 31, it is the Lord who goes before you. It will be you, he will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, Romans 8, for I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor thing present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. I'll never, no, never, nor never forsake. Hebrews, neither will I leave you, nor will I forsake you. Next song we're going to take a look at, In Christ Alone. This has become a modern popular hymn for the church, written by Keith Getty and Stuart Townsend, both songwriters. The song with a strong Irish melody was first penned in 2001, and it's become a standard and a staple. One of my favorite, there's many versions of this song. One of my favorite personal versions is one written by Owl City. For those of you who know him, he did just a fantastic job with this song. In Christ alone my hope is found. 1 Timothy, this is a trustworthy saying, it deserves full acceptance, that we have put our hope in the living God. He is my light, my strength, and my song. Exodus, we were talking about that song that Moses was singing. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. This cornerstone, Matthew, Jesus quoting the Psalms, the stone that the builder rejected has become the cornerstone. Firm through the fiercest drought and storm, the Lord is a refuge to the oppressed, a stronghold in time of trouble. What heights of love, what depths of peace. This is love, not that we love God, but why he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. When fears are stilled, when striving cease, there is no fear in love, but perfect love passes out fear. My comforter, my all in all. Colossians 3:31, there is no Greek, nor Jew, nor circumcised, nor barbarian, no slave, nor free, but Christ is all in all. Here in the love of Christ I stand. Galatians 2, for I have been crucified with Christ. That's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In the back, I'm going to go ahead and move on to the next song. If you want to go ahead and fast forward. This is just for time's sake. Is He Worthy? Is a new song that we've been singing here. First time I heard this, I wept as we were singing it. Is He Worthy? Do you feel that the word is broke? Is the world is broken? That's because of the fall. Genesis 3. Do you feel the shadows deepen? We heard news of these tragic shootings today. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we're all going to get there. Do you know that the darkness won't stop the light from getting through? Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Do you wish you could see it all made new? 2 Corinthians, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed and the new has come. Is all creation groaning? Straight from Romans 8, for we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth. Is a new creation coming? When I saw a new heaven and a new earth, the first heaven and the first earth had passed away and the sea was no more. Is it good that we're to be reminded of these things? This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. One of the greatest challenges we have is we forget as people. This next section of the song, I'm not going to go through the lyrics. I'm just going to go through Revelation 5. When I saw on the right hand of him who was sitting on the throne, a scroll written within on the black, sealed with seven seals, and I saw a mighty angel proclaim with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the seals? And no one in heaven, on earth, or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so he can open the scroll and the seven seals. And between the throne and the four living creatures among the elders, I saw a lamb though he had the marks of slaughter, with seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went, and he took the scroll from the right of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp, the golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you were ransomed people from God, from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you had made them a kingdom and a priest to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." This is our Holy One, the Creator and Judge of all things. See, man has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. God is holy and must judge sin, but man being sinful under God's wrath, what are we to do? By ourselves, we're hopeful, lost in bondage to our sins. But here's the good news, that Christ came to bridge the gap between God and man. Born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, chose to pay our debt, and he conquered the grave. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." God, man, Christ, you have a decision to make. I would encourage you to repent, turn from your sin, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Today is the day of salvation. The scriptures are full of songs of praise and worship to our God. And for those of us who have put our faith and our trust in our Lord Jesus, let's sing in response, and let's sing like we mean it.